All right, let us go into the word this morning. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is stored with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. All right. So we're going to have a blend from what we're looking at yesterday in Christ's stead into today. So let's just go to where we stopped yesterday. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I believe that's where we ended our teaching yesterday. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And that's going to flow into our series we are doing this month titled The Woman in Christ. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. Now, if you look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says that all scripture, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. He's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to God by himself or by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, looking at what we see there, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that man there will be male man, is that correct? And female man, is that correct? In Christ, right? In Christ. If any man be in Christ, yesterday we looked at the concept of in Christ reality. We looked through how that was, you know, a teaching that you could trace its foundation back to the vision that Jacob saw by extension, the promise to Abraham, the promise to Isaac, the promise to Jacob. So it means by extension, one of the things that we need to pay attention to as believers is, like Paul said, like I said yesterday, Paul, we're using Christ as or with Christ, seated with Christ and the likes, about 130 times thereabouts. That should tell you there's a lot we need to pay attention to regarding the in Christ reality. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Now, look at this carefully. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature, that is male and female. Is that correct? Now, a big question becomes, it means, like Paul would say, Galatians, right, that there is neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Greek nor Gentiles, neither Jew nor Greek, neither male, female, neither, and all the likes. So what he's trying to say, it says that we are what? We are now one, right? So it means that there is something called unifier or unity, or and there's something, there's a new birth, as it were, for the believer or for the Christian. So it means that we don't identify gender as a primary factor when it comes to the things of God. We don't identify gender as a primary factor when it comes to the things of God. So gender is not as important when it comes to things of God. What that means is that a pastor is not only supposed to be a man. And that's why I corrected it over time. It's wrong to have the concept of calling women pastor what? Mrs. Are we together? Because you don't say pastor, mister. Right? It's pastor. A pastor can be a male. So the reason why we put subconsciously pastor misses is we subconsciously relegate that the office of a pastor is for a man. Are we together? Right? So pastor misses, right? When you say misses, you're trying to say that we know the word pastor is for a man, but we're trying to identify a woman as a unique scenario for pastoring. No, a pastor is a pastor. Are we together? A doctor is a doctor. Is that correct? A reverend is a reverend. Altogether. So we don't see the woman, right, as less. I mean, we're going to look at a very difficult scripture today. One of the scriptures that are very difficult when it comes to the concept of women and the likes, right? So now, if you go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we've said over time that the word there, study, means to be diligent. So the believer ought to be diligent when it comes to reading the Bible. The Bible is not a book you just gloss over like a storybook. No, the Bible is a book that requires a whole lot of diligence. Say, I'm a diligent student of the word. So study to show thyself as approved unto God, a workman. Now, it doesn't say study so that you'll be approved. Right? It says study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that's a laborer that needed not to be ashamed, rightly what? Dividing the word of truth. Rightly what? Dividing the word of truth. Right? So let's look at one of those scriptures that are very difficult to interpret, and let's rightly divide it, and let's see where we'll get to at the conclusion. And it is 1 Peter 3. Let's just jump right into our thoughts. 1 Peter chapter 3, into the middle of what we want to talk to today, basically. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. You see? Look at verse 7. Likewise, are you there? First Peter chapter 3. Are you there? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wife, as unto the vicar vessel, in essence, together of the grace of life, that your prayer be not hindered. What a troublesome scripture. What a troublesome scripture. You know, sometimes people take the scripture as two things. Number one, the woman is a weaker vessel. So it means that woman by default is weak. And someone had asked this question, I hope you're in church, right? One of you asked me a question from the Nigerian church, I think after the first teaching, basically in this series. And it says, but even the Bible refers to women as weaker. Are we together? Right? And a lot of times, you see, that's very debatable. There are women that if they hold you, Are we together? There are women that if they hold you, right, you are in trouble. Are we together? You know, like I said, our world amplifies what we should not amplify. You hear people say things about, I'm a feminist. I'm a feminist because Paul was misogynist. Right? And so that means that there is no difference between me and my husband. Even the voice you are using to say it is different from the voice of your husband. Yeah, we are now righteous in Christ. Yes, what a man can do, a woman can do better. All together, I'm a feminist. Right, and I said something as a believer. If you look through scriptures, there's no need to argue that way, because the Bible is clear. The problem is the misinterpretation of scriptures. All together, so here's what we say. Just flashing back at a couple of things right now. I won't share it. Don't worry. Right, you just see some people having unnecessary fight, and it's because of the word feminism. What are you trying to fight about? Right, I don't want to be naughty this morning. Pray for me. I hold together. I receive your prayer. I have utterance by the grace of God. I have words to speak. Praise God. Right? So you have people fight an argument. See it this way. You are trying to fight something, but you go to the extreme. You know, I said this problem. We made certain mistakes as a local church when we were much younger years, and this was it simple. There were certain practices we didn't have. But instead of us to correct or to take those practices to become a culture in our local church, we started because it was the predominant conversation, as it were, outside of the local church. We're trying to shield ourselves from the lens of the extreme. And I'll give you a quick example, two quick examples, right? Honor as a concept, right? And giving, right? We didn't have a practice of giving as a local church, right? We had not taught giving, as it were. And our first teaching of giving was that if you sow your, when your life is tight, check your tithe is wrong. When you are suffering, check your offering is wrong. People that did not know how to give before. Are we together? Right? So what now happened? Eventually, when I taught that, all the giving in Nigerian church, you know what they call nosedive? This one is forehead dive. It went down. People started becoming very stingy. If you have one thing, you cannot hear God's word and become stingy. Is that the word wasn't presented as well as it should have been, or you closed your ears? The same thing with honor. We didn't have a practice of honor in our local church. Honor for believers, honor for our pastors, honor for our leaders, right? I started teaching about the extremes of people who, for instance, will be asking their members to use big gun to fleece their eye, or, you know, to do all manners of things, or to eat sand, and all those kind of things. So as we grow, I think to myself, was your pastor asking you to eat sand? Yes, I was asking you to eat sand. So why was I teaching from the lens of eating sand? Do you understand? I mean, it's a journey, it's a growth process and everything, you know, but we need to ensure that we don't use extreme to tackle conversation. And the same thing we use for the word, the concept of feminism, right? You're trying to tackle equal opportunities. Are we together, right? A man and a woman should be able to have equal rights, equal opportunities. But let me tell you, when it comes to authority, when it comes to authority within the confines of a home, right, God has designed it in a way that because of order, right, we will not say that we are both co-equal when it comes to authority, when it comes to the marriage front. We looked at the scripture and said, let a woman keep silence. And the women that were to keep silence in the scriptures were what? The wives who were using the church setting to address family matters. So it says, let your wives keep silence. If they have any question, let them go back home to ask. He's not saying that women should not talk in church. He's not saying that women should not ask questions in church. Right? He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that a woman can pray. When you pray, don't leave your hair uncovered. What was he trying to teach there? Right? He was trying to use the custom of the Corinthians to show honor. So women usually will cover their hair in honor to their husbands. So use that to teach about the concept of honor, the concept of submission. But when he went to other episodes, he didn't say, just as wives submit to your husbands. Are we together? Right? Husbands, love your wife. So when you now come to a scripture like this, when it says men are weaker vessels. So the person that was asking the question was a man. Are we together? Because I think I said something around equal rights, equal responsibility, equals opportunity and all those things. So the person was saying, but even the Bible refers to women as weaker vessels. So I told the person, go back and listen to series one of Woman in Christ that we did in 2022. April 2022, right? Or you wait till the end of this series. So we're going to tackle that in this series. Now, let me tell you, in Bible interpretation, we've understood that the Bible was written in English. But let me tell you something. If we, who actually have the English Bible, can just understand basic English language, a lot of things will be easier for us. The Bible wasn't written in English. What I'm trying to say, some of the arguments and conversations we have as believers, if we can just understand or apply common English language, it will help us. What do I mean? Look at that verse again. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor. Now, when you say a woman is a weaker vessel, and you are talking about a woman is inferior, that's supposed to negate English language that says, husband, give honor to your wife. Are you with me? Okay, I'll come again. If it says, husband, give honor to your wives, and we assume that the wives there are weaker vessels, as per the concept of what we call weaker vessels, that should not add up, because you don't honor what is weaker. Are you together? Yeah? We don't honor what is weaker. Ideally, we honor what is higher. Did you get that now? So if the Bible says, give honor to your wives, as unto weaker vessels. The word weaker, the phrase weaker vessels there cannot mean that Peter is teaching that wives are weak people. Because he said, give honor. Do you understand? The next statement there he makes there. He says, give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And as being heirs together. That means co. We are heirs together of the grace of life. The next misinterpretation people have from that scripture is that your prayers be not hindered. What we get from that statement is that if you are angry with your wife and you pray to God, God will not answer you. Come off it. Yeah, when your wife is not praise of Persia. Are we together? Yeah? Don't worry, if you don't understand it, I understand it. You'll get to where you get home. So, if you don't understand, read your Bible more. Sister Esther, you're the one that said it. Yeah, so we think like, oh, as a husband, there's a phase in my life where God can put my wife as an intermediary between my prayer and him. So that verse literally says, so that all that your prayer be not hindered. So it's easy to assume that what he's teaching there, right, is that your prayer will be hindered when there's issue with your wife. So like I said, one of the most misused phrases is this particular verse that relates. So the way we've taught it, it suggests that women are spiritually, mentally, or physically inferior. Are we together? Yeah? That women are spiritually, mentally, or what? Physically inferior. Are we together? Right? You know, you hear some people saying that, but even at that... So if somebody there's a way somebody asked me this question. He said, if women are not weak, why is it that sometimes in the house when they don't want to do when there's something heavy for them to carry, they come and call you the husband. And I say, you don't understand women. I went together. Days when I'm in the house, there are things that are not done in the house. But days when I'm not in the house, the things that are not done when I'm there are done. Let God give you a revelation knowledge. The things that are not done, are, you will just realize. Do you understand? Are we together? All right? Yeah? So women can be interesting, right? And if you build your muscle too as a woman, you'll become strong. I went together. So you cannot actually use the concept of muscle building as the reason why come of it. Yeah? Is there any woman who, if you build your muscle, you'll not be strong? You know, if, as I am right, like this, if I don't work out for the next 2 years, and a lady works out for the next 2 years, by default, she'll be stronger than me. Do you get the point? Do you get what I'm trying to say? By default, she'll be stronger than me, right? Because she's exercising her muscles. You get the point? So people feel like women are supernaturally inferior, mentally inferior. Mentally inferior is even troublesome. Are we together? That's very strange to believe that women are mentally inferior. Yeah? Women think a lot, though. When women act for you, they've thought it ahead. Right? They've planned it ahead. They are very great project planners. Are we together? Right? So to think that they are mentally inferior, okay, think about spiritually. What can a believer do as a man that a woman cannot do? Can you speak in tongues? Can I speak in tongues? Can you interpret it? Can I interpret it? Which one can you do? You can close your eyes and I cannot close my eyes. What exactly spiritually can I do that a woman cannot do? Praise God for you. A woman can lay hands on you. And you recover. Are we together? Not just lay hands on you. You recover. Right, so to be very careful in paying a lot of attention to what the Bible says. Now, one of the things you must realize is the beginning of that verse 7, starts with the word likewise. And we're together. It says likewise. You can't just look up and just say likewise, go out. Mm-mm. Likewise means there is something you should follow suit. Now, look at that verse 7 again before you go back to previous verse. The word there says that gives is giving honor. That word there, honor, means to prize. I'll give you some other words for that. Giving honor unto the wife is a word that means to prize. It means to cherish. It means to place a great value on. To prize, to cherish, to place a great value on. So like I said, the husband is commanded to honor the wife. It means the husband is commanded to prize the wife, to place a great value on the wife. Is that correct? So you cannot be asked to place a great value on your wife and you think of your wife as inferior. Do you get what I'm just trying to say? You know, there's Hugo Boss and Hugo Boss. Yeah, remember that teaching? Yeah? They are two different. Hugo Boss is the what? Inferior. Are we together? Hugo Boss is the original. When you have Hugo Boss, ideally, one is not teaching. Place value on Hugo Boss. Please follow me. Are you following me? What is Hugo Boss? Keep. Inferior. Paul is not saying place value on Hugo Boss. Paul is saying acknowledge Hugo Boss. Women are not Hugo Boss. Are we together? For international audience, what Hugo Boss just really means is a substantial. So, what was that? Was he in school then? Where somebody wore one jacket like that? Right? Balenciaga. Yeah, you know, there's Balenciaga and there's Balenciaga. There's Balenciaga. Balenciaga in Yoruba can mean he balance on the chair. You just give that interpretation if you love it. Right? And there's Balenciaga. Right? Or the one that you want to buy, Nike. Yes? There's Nike, there's Nike. Yeah? The mark will go, when you see the mark going upwards, Nike. When you see it go downwards, that's Nike. Right? Those are inferior. Are we together? Paul is not addressing the woman as an inferior. No. Look at what he says carefully that will make you understand that. He says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. So on the concept of the grace of life, when it comes to the concept of grace of life, the woman is not inferior. She's not substantial. She's not a lower version. So what is the husband to do to the wife? Don't miss out that point. The husband is to honor, that is to treasure the wife, right? You cannot be asked to treasure ideally or place value on something that is a substantial value or a low value, except you just want to deceive yourself. Now, the word there, knowledge, it says, according to knowledge, the word there, knowledge, is the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S is the word that means knowledge in that verse. And it's a word that means understanding. And that understanding, actually, it speaks about facts acquired by experience or observation. Likewise, the husbands dwell with them according to knowledge. So according to knowledge, what their knowledge means, facts acquired by experience or observation. That word is used in Luke chapter 1, verse 77. You can write it down. I'll just read it for you. Luke 1, 77. Look at Luke 1, 77. It says, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins. Romans 2:20 gives us that same word as well, gnosis. Right? Romans 2:20. So Peter is instructing the husband to know your wife. Are we together? Right? Know your wife. Live with her according to knowledge. What's the word there? Knowledge? Understanding. Is that correct? Live with her according to that what? Knowledge, that understanding. So is the emphasis on this scripture around weaker vessel or about knowledge? Are we here? What is Paul asking of for the husband? Acknowledge something, know something, live with that knowledge. Are we together? So Paul is not in any way focusing on weaker vessel in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7. 1 Peter, sorry. Right? So live according to that knowledge. Live according to that understanding. Now let me look at a simple word that you miss out there a lot of times if you look at it carefully. Look at the 1 Peter. Right? In 1 Peter, look at verse 3 again, verse 7. 3 again, verse 7. Now if we look at that verse, it says, as unto the weaker vessel. As unto the weaker vessel. Let me ask you a question. Is there a difference as unto, from as unto and as the? Peter did not say, treat the wise as the weaker vessel. Is there a difference? When I say treat somebody as a weaker vessel or treat somebody as unto a weaker vessel, don't forget, as unto can make sense because it's about knowledge. That means in your understanding and knowledge, you can identify certain parameters and make that a criteria for your relationship. Okay. So there's a difference between saying I'm treating you as a weak person. It's different from saying I'm treating you as unto a weak person. So I'm treating you as unto a weak person does not mean that you are weak. I'm treating you as unto a weak person simply means I'm acknowledging something. Don't forget knowledge, gnosis. I'm in my understanding paying attention to something. Yes, God forevermore. So the phrase as unto a weaker vessel, not as, the phrase is rather as unto a weaker vessel, not as the weaker vessel. The preposition there, as, or as unto, right, indicates a figurative use. What figure of speech is that? Simile? Is it simile? There are two that look very familiar. Simile and what? Metaphor. Is that, yeah? Right? So when you say that house, that car is as fast as a jet. As a what? As a hare. That car is as fast as a cheetah. It's different from that car is a cheetah. As fast as is different from a. All together. That house is as big as a mansion. I mean, or what other example can we say? Right? Yeah. Give another example of a simile, for instance. As gentle as a dog, as black as a cat. Is it as black as a cat? Okay. As black as charcoal. as talkative as a parrot. You're not a parrot. As unto a weaker vessel. Do you understand? So look at it too. As black as charcoal. When I say you are as black as charcoal, I'm saying I am in understanding treating your complexion in a way. Are you charcoal? You're not charcoal. So think about it, as black as charcoal. Altogether. Woman as unto weaker.
If you
look at it, a man as black as charcoal is this side. As black, rather, a man as black as charcoal. Just follow my hand. A man is here, as black as charcoal. A woman as unto weaker. So in none of them, the man and the woman I'm dealing with, none of them is weaker vessel. None of them is charcoal.
Equally.
So it says, as unto weaker vessels. So he's using comparison, using figurative expressions to communicate a fact. You know, that's similar to what you have in Hebrews 7:7. It says, the less is blessed of the better. So what is being established? Positional authority. Not inherent worth or strength. Please note that. What Peter is establishing is positional authority, not inherent worth or strength. So the wife who is in submission to her husband in the marital structure is figuratively what? Seen as weaker. Now the question now becomes, what is Paul fundamentally teaching? Go back to verse 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in what? Are you in God's palace? Are you in church? Let's read that together. Verse 5, 1, 2, 3, go. For after this manner, 1 Peter 3, 1, 2, 3, go, verse 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. The, another one for subjection there is what? Submission. You know, we said that a few weeks ago. Look at verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in what? So what is Paul addressing from verse 1 of 1 Peter 3? Wives and husband. Particularly around what the concept of what? Submission. Or can we say better, marital structure. Right? Look at verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be. For you to talk about likewise, ye wife, you must continue. No, you cannot start from likewise. It means you need to go back a few verses. So look at verse 21 of 1 Peter chapter 2. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving for us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to the one who judged righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his what? In his own body on the tree. He says that we, being dead to sin, should live unto what? Righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. You were healed. Now look at verse 25. For ye were sheep, gone astray, but are now returned unto the bishop and shepherd of your soul. Likewise, ye wives. Did you get that? Did you get that read? Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversations coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that what? Outward adorning of plaiting of hair, and wearing of gold, or of putting on apparel. So is Peter saying women should not wear gold? Is Peter saying women should not plait their hair? Is woman saying Peter saying that women should not put on apparel? No, that would be troublesome. So now, but look at what he's trying to say. So he's trying to say, let your focus not be on wearing of gold alone. Look at the next verse. But let it be. Let it be what? The hidden man of the heart. In that which is not what? Corruptible. Even the what? The element of a what? Meek quiet spirit. So what is Peter's teaching? It focuses more on character than outward look. Are we together? Pay more attention on character than outward look. If you have your outward look beautiful and your character is rubbish, Peter is saying that is not how we ought to be. Look at the example he goes in straight to talk about again. He says, for after this manner, in the whole time, verse 5, the holy woman also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves. So how did they adorn themselves? Look at it very well. Look at the transition there, please. For after this manner, what manner? The what? The quiet spirit. So can we say the character? So what is Peter teaching? That the women of old had character. He's first saying, don't let gold apparel be the most important thing on your body. Your character is more important than the gold on your body. He's now saying that is the way the women of old behaved. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So he says, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, they adorned themselves, being what? Being in subjection unto their what? Their own husband. So Peter is not teaching that women are supposed to be in subjection unto men. No. Who is Peter teaching should be in subjection unto men? Wives unto husbands. One husband, particularly, emphasis. Are we together? So it is, you are in subjection, as it were, submission unto your own other. So Paul and Peter are taught what is expected of a woman to her husband, her one husband. Are we following? Are we together? So he now says, even as Sarah, is that your Bible? Obeyed. Is Sarah wife? Is Abraham husband? Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any what? Amazement. Now, who has he focused on in the last 4 or 5 verses? Women. Who is he focusing on in verse 7 right now? Men. Likewise, what? Ye men. So what is Paul, Peter establishing? He's establishing a positional authority, not an inherent worth or strength. The wife being in submission is to the husband. Right? So, if you look at the subject of servant and master, is servant to submit to master? Are we together? Is servant to submit to master? Are children to submit to parents? I've always asked, why is this troublesome for us to switch the flip when it comes to husband and wife? So God is so wise when he says children submit to parents. Why didn't God say, even if you are the one that gave birth to your children can be lord over you? It's co-submission, it's co-equality, it's co-obedience. You tell your daughter, leave that place. You say, daddy, leave there too. can you see how ridiculous it sounds? That never makes sense to me. Why we cannot look at it? It's a structural pattern. My son, my daughter, can you don't go there again? Daddy, don't go to church again. Let's go to master and servant, right? So servant, master says to servant, submit this document tomorrow. Servants too, raise your shoulder. Make sure you submit it tomorrow. Is that what happens? Your boss tells you, submit this project plan tomorrow. You say, please make sure you ensure that you submit the red log by tomorrow too. Is that how it works? Now, whilst that's not the literal interpretation of how you must see husband and wife, as it were, I'm trying to say that the structure is divine. Are we in church? The structure is divine, right? Now, look at verse 7 again. Go back to verse 7. So, when servants submit to master, is servant inferior? Is servant inferior? When children obey parents, are children inferior? No. Are we together? When wives are to submit to husbands, are wives inferior? No. You get the point? Right? It shouldn't be that complex. 7b. He says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to 7b, sorry, and as being heirs together of grace. Being heirs together. So Peter immediately is clarifying any misunderstanding about how husbands and wife have a common identity with God. When he uses the word being heirs together, what does that mean? It means our identity is the same. Listen to me carefully. The identity of the husband and the wives are the same way in Christ. Why he uses that word? He says, as being together of grace. So, are they equal heirs? Yes. Is the wife a less heir to the husband? No. So, he says, as being as together. That word together, the same word used when it says we are seated together in heaven, with Christ in heaven. We rose up together with him. So it is a, we are standing side by side conversation. So Paul puts every argument to rest. So it means that, I'm trying to build up a case, it means that the use of the word without vessel cannot be a woman is less. He says we are co-equal. We are co-equal when it comes to being heirs together. Not together, right? So, a man, husband, wife, woman, we both inherit, husband and wife, inherit the same grace. Is that fine? Right? So, that verse that contains weaker vessel also contains heirs together. If we just read it in English, we shouldn't have a problem. But it's not that simple. I understand. Amen? Right? Now, look at how Paul teaches this in Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 quickly. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm not giving you the explanation of weaker vessel yet, so I'm still building the case, okay? We'll get there today. I must touch it today. Are you in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Look at 22 first. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. 25, 1, 2, 3, go. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also love the church. Love your wives. Can we say love your wife means honor your wife? Yes? So, Paul says love your wife as Christ loves the church. Right? So, Paul is putting a higher responsibility of love on who? The husband in marriage. Amen? Right? So, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So, the headship of the husband is modeled in what? Sacrificial love. I'll say that one more time. The headship, the leadership of the husband is modeled on the basis and foundation of what? Sacrificial love. Let me ask you a question. Should the wife also live a life of sacrificial love with the husband? Yes. So, the concept of headship in a marriage is not a concept to say, go and sit down there. Are you with me? The concept of marriage or headship in a marriage is not, if you leave that door, you go back to your father's house. Some people say that kind of thing. Yeah? If you leave this house, right, just from there, pack your load and go back to your parents' house. And the minute, are we together? Right? If your husband like that, threatening you like that in this church, just come and let me know. Are we together? Right? As you are living like this, just pack your load and just let me know. Are we together? Right? Yeah? So, he says, husbands, love your wives. Love your wives. So, the concept of headship is not seen from the lens of dishing out instructions like you're talking to a child. The concept of headship is built on the basis of sacrificial love. Did you get what I just said? I'll say one more time. Right? The concept of headship is not seen in how loud your voice can be in commanding and instructing. It's seen on the premise and the foundation of sacrificial love. If we can get this as a foundational knowledge, we'll put to bed all the need for feminism. Are we together? The problem we have a lot of times is that women don't know how to draw the line. Are we here? We don't know how to draw the line. Because it's easy to just assume I'm the head of the home. It means that I give instruction. You see, my dear, you're not going to work today, okay? Done. All together. Right? Now, you see one of the problems I have on this kind of conversation. A lot of times, if you're not careful, if you don't build a proper relationship in your home, the Spirit of God will not move as it ought to be, as it ought to move. Let me tell you why. There are days I can tell you as my wife not to go out, not because I'm speaking to you as your husband head of the home, but because I'm sensing trouble outside. You see, when you are very, how you know you married a troublesome woman is when everything you say to her is why. Listen to me carefully. listen to me carefully. That's the stupid extreme feminism that we need to address as a church. Now, don't forget, we've already established that a man builds a sacrificial love. So it means the way the man will say it is important. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Are you with me? The way the man will communicate it is important. But if you as a woman, you just think, boss, who on earth do you think you are? What? Or you say, why? Yeah? You will not allow the Spirit of God to flow very well. Because the next time, if there's your husband see that a train will hit you outside. Oh, you cannot see it. You cannot see. But you can see for other people in church, but I cannot see for you. And that means you pray, Sister JT. And he was telling me a story of one of our friends like that. Two of them went to a meeting. And the man there used to give word of knowledge. So the friend was saying to her, just lock your mind. You will not see anything. Yeah? Just lock your mind. You know people are like that. Yeah? When you want to minister to them. Who is Collins? Nobody. Yeah. You see, Collins is in a house with three children. That's not true. Relates. So be careful. What will happen is that in next time, now let me ask you a question. Can the woman as well see that train will hit you outside? So you see where there's problem. You see what I'm saying? The Spirit of God will not flow. Because again, now your wife can see that there's problem outside. You say, who are you to speak to me that way? You are forgetting that you both are co-heirs of the Spirit. And we're together. So we are by grace co-heirs together. And we're together. Praise God forevermore. So I'll say one more time. The headship of a man or the headship of the husband in a home is modeled on sacrificial love. Now, let me say it differently, or let me add a different word. The headship of a man or a husband in a home is modeled on sacrificial love, not on domination. Altogether. Not on domination. You know what it means to dominate? So if you look through Ephesians 7, and 1 Peter 3 verse 7, and Ephesians chapter 5, who is Paul placing more emphasis or enormous responsibility on? On the husband. Are we together? So Paul is placing more responsibility on the husband. Please, is it making sense to you right now? Are we together? Now go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. Hope the study is studying. I would admonish you, don't just shout yes, so because what I'm saying, I know you don't get it fully. It's not a curse. Are we together? Right? It's not a curse. But when you listen to the teaching once, you usually not get it fully. You get it? So I admonish you, go back home and what? Listen again. Because even when I listen to myself, there are things I hear myself say. One of you reached out to me, I was talking to me about a conversation. They were listening to a teaching I had done a couple years ago, right? And they said, a few weeks ago I was teaching, and I said the exact same statement that I made 3-4 years ago. Why is that possible? I listen to myself. So even me listen to myself to be. See, I don't listen to myself to look for correction. Do you understand? I listen to myself for two reasons. How do I get better? One, but it's actually more than two. It's actually more of two. My number one reason is for me to be blessed. Because when I'm talking, teaching God's word, I cannot as much assimilate as much as I'm saying to you. So if I listen to it, the assimilation is different. Right? So I go back to my teachers and I listen to it for me to be instructed, edified, and also see how I can become better. Praise God forevermore. So go back to 1 Peter 3. So please, I admonish you. On your way back home, stop listening to Sungbe. Yeah? Play YouTube video. Play the video and listen to it again. It's online. So go back to 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Are you there? Now look at it again. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to this knowledge, giving honor. Is that the same as love your husband, love your wives? Altogether. Now, what did Paul not use that Peter used? As unto the weaker vessel. He now says, in the same breath, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, the word here hindered is the word of the Greek. I'll spell it for you. Then you can pronounce it yourself. E-double-K, APTO. OPTO, sorry. Right there. E double K. You get that? E double K. What's the next letter? OPTO. How do you pronounce that? Right? It's a Greek word, though. It's not Swahili. Right? How do you pronounce it? Ekopto. Is that correct? Now, let me tell you a minute. The word there hindered, the word there ekopto, is the word that means to cut off or to stop an action. To cut off or to stop an action. Right? Or to cut off occasion or opportunity. That means to stop an occasion from happening, to prevent an occasion from happening, to stop an action from happening. So what is that word? I'll just give you a note to write it down. It's used in the same, in the word, that same word is used in Matthew chapter 5 verse 30, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 12. The word cut off, ekopto, Matthew 5:30, and 2 Corinthians 11, 12. Matthew 5:30 says, and if thy right hand offend thee, okay, let me teach this one. Go to Matthew 5, go to Matthew 5:30 by the grace of God. This will help you now. This will help you right now. What is the word cut off? Or cut it off? Copto, right? What does it mean? To cut off or to stop an action. That means you stop an action from happening. Is that correct? Does it make sense? You stop something you're supposed to do from happening. So look at Matthew 7:30. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Does that make sense now? Cut it off. Does not mean carry knife and cut your hand. Are you with me? What does cut it off means? Prevent the action from going further. Does that make sense? Okay. Why are you laughing? And thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. That is the way we're supposed to live life. Nobody should have right hand today. What did he say you should do? Cast it from thee. So is it the hand you will cast from thee or the action you stopped? Are we together? For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should what? Perish. What will perish be there? Prevented from going into an action. Is that correct? Right? So go back to that first Peter 3. So another scripture you can use is 2 Corinthians. Let me go read that for you as well and see. 2 Corinthians chapter what? 11 verse 12. See what Paul says there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 12. He says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Right? So to cut off means to what? To stop. I would say to prevent. Now go back to 1 Peter 3. I'm going to see who's going to get his answer now. So what is the meaning of that? That your prayers be not hindered. I'm not saying you replace the word ekopto there with cut off. What is the interpretation of that your prayers be not hindered? Okay. I'm listening. I'm listening. He just twisted all of you to put it together and change the words. These are people that used to pass their dissertation very quickly. You collect somebody's dissertation, when you compress it, the people think the person you copied for you. You know that's how we used to do when we're drafting exam assignment. They give you an assignment to go back home at school. You will not now do the assignment first thing in the morning. How many of you did that? First thing in the morning, you copy your classmates' assignment. Lift your hands. We are saved. We are righteous. First thing in the morning, what do? You go to the class. You know the brilliant students. You take their paper. You go to one back of the class. You write, write. The way you even write is the formula did not put, you put. Recall, Pythagoras' theorem states, you write, where A is this, B is a constant, and C is a variable. The owner of the script did not write it to us. When they now look at the owner of the script, it will look as if they look at the owner, summarize their own. And swear to this. You know, before you copy, you have to be smart. It takes a smart person to copy well. Everything in this life, right? Yeah? I don't know how true it is because it doesn't sound good to me. But I heard somebody copied an exam script and copied the name of the student. You know somebody that has done it. Even though because you know, I don't believe that can make sense. They're copying you. They're just copying inclusive of your name, Lola. So when the person marking the script now is now marking, he's seeing two papers. So say, who is who? You now copy of you, how come I write? Let me see your writing and trace it. Oh my goodness.
All together.
Right? So now, what is he saying? That your prayers be not hindered. Your prayers being not hindered is not speaking about your prayers to God. It is your prayer with yourselves. So it means there is something that can happen in the home and it will stop you from praying. That's what Peter is teaching. Either it will stop you from praying or it will stop both husband and wife from praying together. Look at the game with that one. Right? Yeah? So if he says, as being together of grace, of life, that your prayers be not, can we say that your prayers be not stopped? Yeah, don't forget the word ekopto. That's the word that means to stop an action, to cut off, to not allow an occasion to progress, to not allow a scenario to go further. So that your prayers be not hindered is not saying that if your wife is upset with you, God does not hear your prayer. That's nonsense. Are you together? Paul uses the same thing again in 1 Corinthians. Paul rather uses that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. 1 Peter 7, verse 5. He says, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempts you not for your incontinency. Are we together? So, Satan tempts you not for incontinency, right? So, he's trying to say something very important, just like Peter, right? There are certain things that can happen that will stop certain other things from happening. Hope you're learning something together. So, the verse is not saying that the wives can hinder the prayers from being answered. But the verse is saying that the wives can hinder a husband from praying. Or a husband can hinder a wife from praying. Or a husband or wife can hinder both husband and wife from praying together. So, he's saying that a husband who dishonors his wife, right, in the real sense, because of not understanding something you should understand, right, it can make or may make one or can make his wife to stop praying. All together. So there's a way I can treat my wife that my wife feels so bad, such that she cannot even pray. So what is happening? I've hindered her prayer. Praise God forever. Yeah, can we go, talking about hindering a prayer, can we say it can make the wife to lose the desire to pray? Is that correct? It can make the wife to lose the desire or the discipline of prayer in the home. All together. So it means your prayer, your conduct as a husband can determine the prayer life in your home. That's what Peter is teaching.
It's not for all.
Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Are you in 1 Timothy? I'm trying to see how to jump into something, but if you look at Deuteronomy, you see one of the writings of Moses where it says, the woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man. Remember that? Neither shall a man put on a woman's what? Garment. Who was Moses talking to?
Yeah.
The Israelites now. Was he talking to you? Moses was not saying, husband, don't wear your wife's clothes. Wives, don't wear your husband's clothes. That's not what he's teaching. Shall we together? Right? That's what Moses was teaching. Right? So it was an instruction given to Israel. And what was the reason for the law that Moses gave them? It was to guide them. Don't forget, they were going into a city. Canaan. Right? So Moses, as God's prophet, I will just summarize it. Moses, as God's prophet, will give them instructions to guide them in a land that is not their land. Or a land where where trouble is found. What's the word? Where conduct is not as much placed a priority. You know what I'm saying? So it was written to a specific people for a specific purpose. Are we together? Right? If you remember in their day and time, there was not as much diversity of clothing like today. Is that correct? The types of clothing they wore in their day is not what we are wearing today. Right? So look through all of that. But look at what Paul says in 1 Timothy. And go all the way to verse... Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Yeah? But we know that the law is good if a man uses it what? Lawfully. Right? So Moses, as it were, if you look at writing of Moses, Moses as well was not creating a universal dress code. All together, right? What was he guarding against? Immoral conduct. You might ask, how does that sit into way in their way? In the real sense, there was the concept of women being mistaken for men because of how they dressed. And men being mistaken for women because of how they dressed. Are we together? Right? So if you look through, there was a predominant, you know, homosexuality culture, the different schools of thought that actually take Deuteronomy 20 in various ways. So there's a school of thought that says there's a homosexual culture. Right, and in the real sense, the reason for dress for not wearing what pertains to woman is to prevent, if you understand, that culture from infiltrating into the lives of Israel. I'm just trying to summarize in the best possible way because I don't want to focus on that as much as that. But if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Are you there? Look at verse 9. Look at verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair. Is that what Peter was teaching? Yeah, plaited hair, gold, and wearing gold and all the likes. Yeah, or pearls, or costly arrays, but which becometh women, professing what? Godliness, with what? Good works, right? If you look at that, so Paul particularly is really addressing the concept of character and conduct, right? When it comes to a wife, to be paid attention to a woman, to be paid attention to more than what they look like or what they look or what their physical appearance looks like. Now, if you look at 1 Peter 3, let me try to wrap up. I think I wanted to touch 1 Timothy today, but I'll touch it on Wednesday. Let me just wrap up in 1 Peter 3. See how workers meeting today. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. We've looked at verse 3, verse 4, verse 5. The summary of verse 3, verse 4, and 5 is saying, do not exalt your outward beauty over your attitude or above your attitude. That's what Peter is teaching there. That's what he taught in 1 Timothy. Does that make sense? Do not exalt your outward beauty above your attitude. So good dressing is not equivalent to good conduct. Is it correct? Good dressing is not equivalent to good conduct. What should your attention be paid to more as a believer or as a woman or as a man? Good conduct over good appearance. Now, let me now explain the concept of the weaker vessel conversation. So now, when it comes to authority in the local church, who has authority in this church? Myself, is that correct? Are we co-heirs together? Are we co-equal by the Spirit of God? When it comes to authority, who is the head of this local church? Pastor. Is that correct? Do you have the authority I have? Can you want to make a suggestion and tell me? Am I to listen? Are you to always keep quiet and say yes, and that's it, and move on? No. In my authority as a pastor in this church, who are you to me? You are disciples, are we together, to pastor. Am I in submission to you? Are you in submission to me?
Are we following? In the concept of submission and authority, who is the weaker vessel?
Disciples.
Does that make sense? I couldn't explain that in any other different way than that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Who is the weaker vessel in terms of authority and honor and submission in the local church? The disciples. Who is the weaker vessel in terms of authority and honor in the home? The wife. Are you weaker than me? So if that scripture says, thus, treat members in your church as unto weaker vessels. What is he saying? Have a knowledge that there's a headship authority and responsibility given to me that is built on sacrificial love. So who should lead in sacrificial love in this church? It's me now. Are we together? So I lead on sacrificial love as the pastor in the church because of my position. Can we say authority? Can we say influence? When it comes to submission, right? Are we supposed to submit ourselves one to another? Yes. Yes. As who? Believers. In the structure of the church, do we submit ourselves one to another? No. Masters and servants don't submit themselves one to another, but they submit themselves one to another. Children and parents don't submit themselves one to another, but they submit themselves one to another. Pastors and members don't submit themselves one to another, but they submit themselves one to another. When it comes to authority, so the use of the word weaker vessel is a figurative expression. It's talking about when it comes to a matter of authority, you are weaker. That means, it's just like what I said in Hebrews 7:7, the less is blessed. Right? Right? The less is blessed by. Go together. So it is a concept of, on the subject matter of authority, on the subject matter of submission. Now, let me ask you a question. In the local church, as your pastor, when it comes to authority, who is the weaker vessel? Listen to me, everyone. When it comes to authority in the local church, who is the weaker vessel? When it comes to submission in the local church, who is the weaker vessel? Nope. I mean, you've not gotten it. When it comes to authority in the local church, who is the weaker vessel? The disciples, the church, the members. When it comes to submission in the local church, who is the weaker vessel? It's me. Did you get that? You didn't get that, okay? Authority, right? In the local church, right? So look at it this way. I can say, okay, if we are praying and I say, sister, close your eyes and pray. Can you say that to me? In that conversation, who has authority? Myself. Who is the weaker vessel in that conversation? Authority. Who has authority? Me. Who? Okay, so let's assume the weaker vessel means less. Right? Now, we've established that it is not less in terms of your person. It does not mean you are inferior. It doesn't mean less in terms of you. In the position of authority, right? Who has the authority to say, sister, close your eyes and pray? I can. Right? So, when I say, sister, close your eyes and pray, who am I talking to? I'm talking to somebody who is submitted to me. Right? So, as in my authority, who is weaker, me or you? You are weaker. You get the point? When it comes to submission, right? When the concept of sister, close your eyes and pray, what do you do when you close your eyes and pray? You pray. Why are you praying? You are in submission to my instruction. In the concept of submission to my instruction, who is weaker? Who submits between two of us? You submit. Right? When you submit, who is higher in submission? In submission, who acts? Okay, look at it. Something is happening in the church. You are not praying. Right? I come in and I see you are not praying. And I say, sister, close your eyes and pray. What have I done? I've acted based on my position. I said, close your eyes and pray. When you heard close your eyes and pray, What did you do? You close your eyes and pray. What did you do? You acted based on your position. Go back again. When I come in and say, close your eyes and pray, I spoke to you because I have authority as your pastor. Who is weaker in that concept in terms of authority? You are weaker in authority. When it now comes to acting, you close your eyes and pray. Who is weaker in submission? So, do I submit? No, okay. Now, listen to me carefully. Can I tell you, close your eyes and pray? Can you tell me, close your eyes and pray? Okay. Can you close your eyes and pray because I tell you, close your eyes and pray? Can I close my eyes and pray because you tell me, close your eyes and pray? Eh? So, who is weaker on that concept? Weaker in submission, in authority. Who is weaker? You are weaker. I'm using her to explain. I want her to get it though, but everybody's learning. So when it comes to authority, positional authority, structure in the local church, who is weaker? You. So if we're to attribute the concept of weaker vessel to any of us in terms of authority, who is weaker? You. In terms of submission, who is weaker? I'm not weaker. Sorry, I'm weaker rather. You are not weaker in submission. All right, so flip the switch, pastor and wife. Did I say pastor and wife? Sorry. Husband and wife. Right, so husband is pastor, member is wife. In terms of authority, who is a weaker vessel? In terms of submission, who is a weaker vessel? Is it clear? It's not clear. Okay, wait, is it clear for all of us? Ooh, if it's not clear for you, let me see your hand. If it's not clear, let me see your hand. If it's not clear. One, two. Who again? I don't want to see what she's thinking. So it's simple. Paul is addressing something, concept of authority in the house. Paul is addressing authority and submission. Let's look at those concepts, authority and submission. Right? A pastor has authority. Okay, let's use master and slave. Right? So, he is my worker. You can sit down. He's my worker. Right? I'm working for him. I come to the organization one Monday morning and I say, please help me go and pack my things in the car. Are we together? Right? So, what does he do? He leaves and packs my things in the car. Why did he do that? Because I have authority over him. Are we together? Now, in going to pack my things from the car, what is he doing? He's submitting to my authority. It means there is no ground in terms of that relationship where I am to submit to his authority. So if he's submitting to my authority, right, in that real sense, because I have the authority, I'm giving an instruction, right, he is considered as unto the weaker vessel. You get the point? Now, in him going to his car or to the car to go and bring something, he's acting on my instructions. When it comes, what will you call the name of what he's doing? He's submitting. When it comes to the concept of submitting, right, there is no world in which he can look at me and ask me to go and do something for him. So it means on the matter of submission, because of the position we are having, I am a weaker vessel compared to his submission. He is a weaker vessel compared to my authority.
I think I'm having difficulty. Okay. If he's always submitting to you, mm-hmm. like, why are you weaker?
Mm-mm. I'm only weaker on the subject of submission. Subject, the subject matter submission. I'm not so, I'm, okay. So look at this. If you can understand this without thinking about how I'm weaker in submission, it's easier for you. Look what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to build two worlds, right? There's world A and there's world B. World B, world A authority, world B submission, right? Ideally, he cannot ask me to do something for him, right? So it means that I cannot respond to him based on anything he wants me to do as an instruction. On that matter, I'm talking about the way Peter used it. He's saying, so he's going to address me as unto a weaker vessel in terms of authority. Go together. Yeah, the part you said was not clear what I just explained. Listen again. Yeah, just explain what you said. So, the concept of submission, right, I am not submitted to him. Right? In his authority and his position, let me say it differently. In his position as a submitter or submittee or submitter, right? I am weaker in that he cannot give me an instruction. Right? When I give an instruction, he is weaker because I can give him an instruction. Is it clear? It's just okay, you're saying. Yeah, you go back and listen. You have a question as well. I don't want to take questions today, but do you have a question as well? You are still trying to grasp the understanding.
That my mind for now is the weaker
one. And that's what I'm trying to say. And that's why I said he is the weaker one. In the concept of submission, in the real sense, he is the weaker one. But the concept of submission, as it were, so look at it this way. My authority over him makes him to be addressed as the weak. Don't forget, I hope we are clear. The submission conversation is not that he is less of me. It is positionally. In this position of him submitting, right, he is because he is the weaker. Are we together? Okay. You know what?
Because he can't take instructions.
He can't take instructions. Let me try it this way. Let me say less and better. I hope you are following Nigerian church as well, right? Yeah? So there is, let me, for this example, there is less, there is better in terms of authority. When it comes to submission, there is less, there is better. If this one I just said does not still make sense, please go and take the teaching and listen to it from the beginning. I will say it again. There is, in terms of authority, there is less, there is better. In terms of giving authority, in terms of acting as one who is submitted, he is the one that acts as the one that is submitted. So there is better and there is less. That makes sense since morning. So that makes sense. We tackled your own. It makes sense. Does it make sense for you too? It doesn't make sense yet. Okay, it doesn't make sense. You're not listening to it. Or Sister Uche, all the grammars. My mouth is already getting white. I preached this yesterday. Right? I'll say one more time. Right? So don't forget, I'm using careless examples. You get what I'm trying to say? When it comes to authority, right? When it comes to authority, I am better. He is less. I'm using careless example. When it comes to submission, because I cannot submit to him, on the matter of submission, he is better. Clear? Look at someone talk about the things you've learned today.